Let's take our Bibles and look once again in 2 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read from verse 14 down to verse 29. And I've entitled this simply, No One Left Behind. Not one left behind. This is we read in Exodus 15. All that the Lord purposed to pass over, passed over safely through the sea. And when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul was directed to write that passing over was a picture of identification with Christ. It says by baptism. A lot of people think, well, there you go, it's water. So it's a picture of that. But he's talking about his death, the baptism of his death. The reason why the Lord caused Israel to pass through was because there had been a death, not the death of the people, but of the Passover lamb, and therefore they passed through. And that rock, Paul is directed to write, it was a spiritual rock. It was Christ, and it says it followed them, but it's symbolic of his presence for his people. And that's what we see here in 2 Samuel 17, even though it's like under Saul, when Saul was pursuing David to kill him, not one person perished at the hand of Saul, but the Lord preserved them alive for David's sake, for Christ's sake. That's what it's a picture of. And same thing here. It says in 2 Samuel 17, remember we had this conflict between Ahithophel, who was an evil counselor, much like Judas. He betrayed David. And yet, at this moment, in Hushai, David had said to go back and be his ears and eyes there in Jerusalem. And when Hushai gave counsel not to pursue David, that the Lord turned Absalom's heart just for that time, that he would take the counsel of Hushai. And here in verse 14, it says, And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Every once in a while, you'll see even those that are unconverted making statements that are true. And you think, well, how could they say that or do that and still be unconverted? Well, that's the Lord. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he will. Even down to how those that are unconverted, the Lord causes to be kind. Think about how many people you cross paths with that are actually kind people. And they're kind to you, even though if they knew your God, they would hate you. And yet the Lord has used them to direct and give advice and give counsel that is for our good. But here the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. This is the Lord directing in everything. And here's the reason, verse 14, for the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. You see why that Song of Moses is so important? The Lord had appointed to defeat Pharaoh and his army in his time, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So just because certain people are showing success at certain times in their life, don't think that it's necessarily God's blessing. It could be that the Lord's directing them to an end that will ultimately bring evil upon them. And we know that was the case of Ahithophel. We know that was the case with Absalom. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, Thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled thee. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David. So Hushai would have been among the priests, along with Zadok. That's why he's giving them instruction. And Abiathar, these were priests that were yet in Jerusalem. And yet, what was their one ambition as priests? It was for the glory of David. It's like any that are the Lord's servants. It's for the glory of Christ. Saying, Lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over. Hushai knew that even though Ahithophel, for the time being, or Absalom, they were in agreement with him, they knew it could change tomorrow. And so he's saying to David, pass over. This is how the Lord was directed. Lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. So here's the picture of the king, which is a type of Christ, and the people that are with him. What happens to the king happens to the people. If the king is swallowed up, then the people have no hope. Think about that with regard even to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they took him by wicked hands, crucified and slew him. And so for 3 days and three nights, it appeared that Christ had been swallowed up. But they didn't know what Christ himself had already said, that the grave couldn't hold him. He'd be there 3 days and three nights, and then he'd rise again. So his death was our death, but his resurrection is our resurrection. He paid our debt. So we see representation here. That the king not be swallowed up, and all the people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed in Rogel. These were two others that the Lord had placed there for David's good, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them. A wench is an old English word for a slave girl. Went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. So you can see all these moving pieces here, and yet, who's directing it all? It's the Lord. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Baalrim, which had a well in his court, whether they went down. This was not a very deep well. This is described as a fuller's well. It was a well where they poured water and washed garments and linens in it. So they went into the well, which would have been dry, and the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman, to the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. Some read that and go, oh, she lied. It's like Rahab. They came seeking the spies. Peter said, judge for yourselves whether it's better to obey God than man. Whenever there comes a decision that involves the glory of Christ, it's better to obey God. And in this, she obeyed that direction that the Spirit gave her to say, they'd gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. It's interesting even that. They were in hot pursuit but could not find them, so they just went back. They didn't even think of going back and saying, he must have lied. And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David. And said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. These were the Lord's eyes and ears on the ground for David. I think about even in Christ's time, he had no place to lay his head. He had no, a fox has dens, and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And yet, there were always places and people that the Lord dwelt with. And they knew where he was, but they couldn't lay a hand on him until it was God's, the Father's time for him. David arose and all the people that were with him. And this is where the title comes from. And they passed over Jordan. By the morning light, there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. No one left behind, not one lacking. Certainly that's what Christ said. Of all that the Father has given me, I should lose nothing. this little Jesus that's being preached today, that would love to save sinners but can't unless they let him. And even some that go so far as say that, as I heard one man say, well, you might be in his hand, but what's the thing about hands? There's gaps between the fingers. You might just fall through. So you better be holding on to him. That's the way that there Jesus is preached, but that's not the Christ of Scripture. Read it again. By the morning light, there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And this is with people in hot pursuit. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died. Was buried in the sepulcher of his father. People think that even today suicide is an answer. It's not. The Lord purposes it to usher people out of this life into eternity. We've never known him. It's like Judas. You say, why did he go and hang himself? He was angry. His counsel had not been taken. He preferred to die. Remember, Ahithophel was at one point David's confidant. You talk about a hard turn to end up this way, just like Judas walked with our Lord all those years and yet not granted repentance as Peter was. Say, what's the difference between Peter and Judas? It's the Lord. He said, I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, all God has to do is take his hand off somebody. They'd rather die, they'd rather kill themselves than to seek Christ. Thinking somehow they're better off. It says he was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Then David came to Mahanaim. Absalom passed over Jordan. He and all the men of Israel with him. That is all those that aligned themselves with Absalom. This is David's flesh and blood son. Pursuing after his father, such a contempt and hatred that he had for him. That's just a picture of what it is to be left to oneself. Hating Christ rather than bowing. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab. He's making moves here to strengthen his hand. It says, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister Zariah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. What were they doing pitching there? It was against David and his people. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, of Rogalim. Notice, brought beds and basins. Here's David dwelling in a strange land amongst all these people in a hostile environment, yet brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him. See what I mean when I mentioned a little while ago that the Lord turns the hearts of people to be kind for reasons that they may not know, but the Lord is directing all the while. It says, for they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. That's how the Lord provides. So what can we say about all this? And here's a few thoughts to leave with you. First of all, it's clear in reading this that God purposes all things for his glory. We talk about not one left behind. This matter of deliverance and salvation is not up to any one of us, but it's the Lord who's doing his will. The Lord had appointed the defeat of the council of Ahithophel even though you would think, well, he and Absalom were of one mind and heart, yes, but in this instance, the Lord caused Absalom not to heed the counsel of Ahithophel. That's how quickly, down to the minute detail, the Lord directs thoughts and minds and hearts to his honor and glory. And as we read there, it was to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom, bring evil upon his person, bring evil upon his cause. You can't fight against the Lord and win. Unless the Lord gives a sinner a heart to bow, it's a no-win. The battle's over. It can only end in the sinner's destruction. And God is just in doing so. If you read in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, there's scriptures we could look at, but here's one in particular. It says in verse 20, hear counsel. That's what we do when we hear the word. And receive instruction. That's what we're doing right now. Notice, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Why? Because the scriptures say there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. No matter which way you turn, the end thereof are the ways of death. There's no finding acceptance with God other than the way that he has ordained, and that is through his Son. And then read verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You think back, if you're the Lord's and he turned your heart, how many different thoughts and devices were in your mind and heart as you pursued your path. And then suddenly, the Lord turned your heart to Christ and Christ alone. I don't preach him today because I learned this in man's school of theology, no. The Lord brought me low and opened my heart, opened my eyes to the scripture. Otherwise, I was just as blind as the next person out there pursuing a work, to build a work and call it mission work and all of that, and yet in the end, the Lord was gracious and delivered me from my way. There's a whole world out there that he's blinded. And they never see it all the way to their death. Ahithophel, rather than have his heart turned to David and to repent and bow, he went to his death. Same with Absalom. Same thing. There's a whole generation that God has blinded. So when we say that God purposes all things for his glory, it's not just in salvation, it's in condemnation. I'd refer you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And there's some that don't like reading it this way, but I'm just reading what the scriptures say. Because they're of the mindset that it's Satan that is blinding people. And if Satan weren't blinding them, then they could see. And they like to fall back on this portion here in 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul says in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, a particular ministry, as we have received mercy, the only person who can truly declare the mercy of God is one who has received mercy in Christ, the mercy seat. Therefore, we faint not. I'll tell you, it's a lonely place in this life to stand and declare and preach in this world, this God, and this Christ, and this salvation that gives him all the glory. There's no wiggle room for man, and that's where people get uneasy. They think, well, I think you're being too narrow in how you're preaching this word. You can't be too narrow. Not any more narrow than what the scriptures declare. But we faint not. Why do people preach this for a while and then turn away? It's because they were never taught. Else they couldn't turn away. Paul says, we faint not, but have renounced. That's once for all, the hidden things of dishonesty. He's talking about dishonesty in ministry. Pandering to people. Looking for their praise and applause. Wanting to build a following. But Paul says, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That's what these do. The counsel of Ahithophel was deceitful. The Lord put Hushai there to declare the truth. David, it says, by manifestation of the truth, and you can put there the manifestation of Christ, who is the truth. There's no truth apart from Christ. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And why is it you preach how you do? Why is it you preach who you do? It's because God has so revealed Christ in me, I can do no other. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. There is no other way than what I'm declaring unto you. But now it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That word means condemned and perishing. How's it hid? Here's where people, again, pervert the scriptures to their own destruction, because Paul says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And even the translators, the editors, put God in little G-O-D, didn't they? It should be capital G-O-D. Because it's the same word as up there in verse 2, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Same word. But here's where men don't want to accept such a God. They'll say, well, we believe he saves, but no, he wouldn't blind anybody. But it says here, in whom the God of this world, there's only one God of this world. That's God himself. That's the word, the magistrate, the chief magistrate. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't believe because God's left them to their blindness, ordained that blindness, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This light of the glorious person and work of Christ, the gospel, Christ being the image of God, shining, isn't for everybody. It's for those that God has purposed to see the light. And they see the light by him opening their eyes. Other than that, they'll be blind. And he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, here it is again, hath, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But how does God blind sinners? Just withholds the light. Not like he's trying to get you to see. No. He gives the eyes to see and he caused that light to shine forth, just like he did in the beginning of this world. Commanded. He's not begging. Commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's why Paul says in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And that's true of any one of us that's been taught of the Lord. It's, this body is a treasure in an earthen vessel. Of the revelation of Christ, that the excellency of the power may be of God and us. Nope, says, and not of us. It's not God trying to get us to cooperate with him. So you can see God purposes all things for his glory, even down to the blindness of Ahithophel and Absalom, that he might destroy. Secondly, in this story, come back here to 2 Samuel 17, what I would leave with you is that if God be for us, who can be against us? God purposes to do his work. Stand as they will against God. There's none that will say unto him or stay his hand and say, what doest thou? I'm thankful it's that way. If God be for us, who can be against us? You think about all of the moving parts in the story that I read. And I've had some say to me, man, there's an awful lot there I don't get. Well, get this. Even if you don't understand all the moving parts, it's like opening a watch. You see all those parts and you think, how does that work? I don't care. I'm glad it works. It's directed. It's put together with design and purpose. But all these moving parts, down to, you think about Hushai and his counsel. You think about Jonathan and Ahimaaz staying in Enrogel, there to be there to direct the they were priests too, Jonathan and Ahimaaz. They were sons of priests. And they didn't go into the city of Jerusalem with their parents when they were sent back by David in 2 Samuel 15. You remember, they were sent back. They stayed by their direction at this place, which was near Jerusalem, near what the Jews called the Fuller's Fountain, where they went and washed their clothes. Why did they linger? Why did they hang back? The Lord purposed it, even in their decision. And then you've got the wench, the slave girl. And then you've got the lad who saw and ran and told Absalom. Then you got Absalom. I think about the man's house who had a well. That well was placed there not just for washing clothes and linens. It was there for this time and this hour. I think about this meeting place here. When it was originally built, it wasn't built to be a place where the gospel was going to be preached. I'll guarantee you that. Someone lived here for a while, and the Lord moved them out. Then it became a daycare, and then the Lord moved them out. And then it became an office for a food supply place. And then the Lord moved them out, and guess what? We've been sitting here now since 2000, almost. Well, it's 18 years now, coming up in June. Think about it. All this, and here's where the gospel's going forward. That, the Lord's purposed these things for His honor and glory. And even down to the woman of the house covering the well. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're immortal until such time as God's pleased to take us. And then a third part of this story I would underscore is that every one of those that God has given to the king, it's like we read there in verse 22, he will and does keep, irrespective of the plots of the enemy. And that's what we saw there in Exodus chapter 15 in the song of the redeemed. Exodus 14, 22 says, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Wall for their protection. Think about the walls of salvation. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 4, the Lord said, I will also raise up shepherds over them, speaking of his people, and they shall tend them. They will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified. And I love this. Nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. That's the way it is. Our Lord said that. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those that he has given me. All that he's given me, I'll not lose one. The final point I bring out is that the Lord does bring destruction upon the enemies of the king, as he will. We've got this story of Ahithophel hanging himself, as with Judas, son of perdition, remorse but no repentance. And then you've got Absalom remaining unrepentant still, in spite of who he knew David to be. What was he doing? Building up wrath against the day of wrath. That's how Romans 2 describes those that are left to themselves. Thank God to be of those that the Lord does deliver and sustain. It's like here, when the Lord caused all these people to bring these, the beds, the basins, the earthly vessels, the wheat, the barley, the flour. I went down through that list. Oh, that's quite a feast out there in the middle of the wilderness. But what does Christ say there in Psalm 23? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine. It's my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in. That's our state in this world. We can't do better than that. What a blessing to be the Lord's. All right.